Jesus today offers us this parable of the 10 virgins in order to drive home the point that we must always be prepared. Prepared for what? Well, you could say, well, prepared for death, or we might say prepared for eternal life, that we want to be prepared for that. Notice that all the virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, but the wise bring oil. They bring this oil for their lamps. This oil represents the preparation, we might say, or this preparedness, whether it's good deeds or cultivating virtue, fostering the life of Christ in their souls. We might make a connection to our baptism. You know, at baptism, we all receive this light of Christ. The Lord comes to dwell in our very souls. And so we have this light within us. And throughout the course of our lives, we continually try to protect that or keep that light lit. Or if it goes out, we try to go and get it lit again. In regard to this parable, we might say the foolish virgins received baptism, but after the initial light of Christ was received, they failed to do the necessary work of guarding and protecting it or replenishing it. Thus, when Christ comes, he's the bridegroom, when he comes, their lamps have gone out. And they have allowed their faith to kind of ebb away. In the crucial moment when they were left without a light, the bridegroom came. Jesus came. And they were not ready. They were not ready. They were not prepared to receive him. What is it that allows someone to allow their lamp to go out? What causes this to happen? Well, I suppose there's many things, right? We all have different things that kind of trouble us or are temptations for us or struggles or just challenges for us. Might be our sins, might be our worldly occupations at times, might be our lack of charitable deeds. It might be just a hardness of heart or judgment of others or a lack of love for those in need. It's a little different for each of us. But what's the antidote? What's the thing that helps us hold on to this light of Christ or be prepared, keep that light from being snuffed out? Once again, this week, it's the life of prayer, right? Maintaining that daily prayer life is how we protect that relationship with the Lord. You might say prayer is like that slow trickle of oil that flows into our lamp. You know, if we miss a day or two or miss an opportunity to pray when we should have, it's all right, we can survive. But if we keep missing and keep on missing day in and day out, eventually our lamp goes empty and our light goes out. And when we run dry, it becomes much easier to be caught up in worldly pursuits or sins or struggles. And we start to, our view of the world starts to get more focused in on worldly things rather than eternal things. Prayer is that time when we step away from the busyness of the day and we take time to really open ourselves to the bigger things, the greater things of life. Our readings today stress and highlight the need for wisdom. This concept of wisdom, it's obviously something that's important for us. There's an idea that we talk about in the church called monasticism of the heart. So monasticism is like monks and nuns. They go off and live in the convent, right, or in the monastery, and they're off by themselves living this life. But the idea is that we have this monastic heart where we desire to be with God. We have a place in our souls that kind of set aside for the Lord to be there. And it's not that we always feel the Lord there, but we have this place in our heart kind of reserved for him. If this is your space, Lord, it's kind of like your guest room. It's always ready for you. You can go there whenever you want. And even if you're there, I won't bother you. If the door's closed, I won't come in, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes in prayer, we know the Lord is there, but we don't feel him. And so sometimes we might have the sense that the door is closed and we're not feeling or not seeing him. But this place of our hearts that we have opened to the Lord, it's kind of nourished through the life of prayer. In the midst of our busy days, our daily lives, we can go there moment by moment and just kind of refresh ourselves or ask the Lord to speak to us. So wisdom is this contemplation of divine things. It gives us the ability to penetrate the truths of God and to fall in love with God. In our first reading, we are told the advantages of wisdom. One of the things it says was, taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence. Prudence is order to making correct decisions, especially when choosing between two goods. So we might say, oh, this thing is good and this thing is good. Which one should I do? Prudence helps us in that moment to choose the higher good. To be able to take account of these eternal truths is what wisdom helps us to do. Mother Teresa gives some words kind of about this whole process. She says, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. So when we take time for prayer, or silence, you might say, that allows us to have that prayer time. And then that allows us to have faith. And then faith allows us to love. And love gives us the opportunity to serve our brothers and sisters and to see that the world through the eyes of Christ. The life of contemplation makes it possible to attain and live by these higher virtues. If our life is one sort of great rushing around, where we run from one thing to the next, always living on the level of distraction, perpetually being caught up in the moment with no consideration to the greater things and no reflection upon realities that aren't immediately present to us, if this is how we live, we won't be wise and we will be like the foolish virgins. Life will happen to us. We will be carried about by the wind, sort of at the whim of every breeze. And I say this, in a sense, from my own experience, right? I know what it's like. We so easily get caught up in things that pull us away from God, or pull us away from the things that we need to give our attention to. Only when we're rooted in prayer can our life have a deeper meaning. Only when we can begin to foster wisdom and the virtues, only then can we really be aware of the reality of God. So prayer, we might say, is that tether that keeps us tied to God. You know, if we're in a dark room, or consider maybe if you're in a dark cave or something like that, and you know you're tied to the person in front of you, you kind of have that surety that, okay, I'm not alone. And in the darkness, at times, that's all you have. It's just sort of lifeline. And that's kind of what prayer is for us at times when we're in the darkness of our lives and we're in the struggles of challenges and difficulties, stresses. That life of prayer is that tether that keeps us bound to God, and we need that. Prayer is that continual preparation for the great wedding feast that the Lord wants us to be invited to and wants us to receive that invitation and respond to that. So may we follow the example of the wise virgins and stay awake, for we know neither the day nor the hour of our visitation. Help me today to realize that you will be speaking to me through the events of this day, through people, through things, through creation. Give me ears, eyes, and heart to perceive you, however veiled your presence might be. Give me insight to see through the exterior things to the interior truth. Give me spirit of discernment. O Lord, you know how busy I must be this day. If I forget you, do not forget me. Amen.